Part 2. Ulterior Motives. When anger arises, think of the consequences. Confucius. G-91. Ford McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado.
So I guess neither of them picked up? Emma asked a few minutes after asking Clark to call Dan or Tara to inquire as to whether Leisha really was with them.
She glanced at her own phone, recently set to its Tier 1 VIP mode, which would only allow calls from her closest friends and family. This was to make sure no calls got in the way of any from those who really counted during what was an increasingly uncomfortable waiting period. If for some reason Leisha was in Buenos Aires, there was no doubt that Baby Piper, despite everyone's best efforts and an apparently successful removal of her uplift powers, had retained some kind of mental link to the messengers.
I texted them both, Clark said, still holding his phone in anticipation of a reply. They'll be inside the ICA building, so they could be talking to anyone. At least with a text, they can read it and try to look calm. If I explained this out loud, they might instinctively reply. Depending on who they're with, that could be really bad.
Right, Emma said, agreeing with the logic. With the family having endured such stress in trying to keep Piper's powers secret before they had seemingly been removed, the memories of why that had been so important were still fresh enough in everyone's minds to need no revisiting.
I'll give it a few more minutes, then call Tara first, Clark decided. I'll ask if she's seen the text, and if she says yes, I'll straight up ask if Leisha is there. That way it won't be a surprise that catches her out and makes her say something out loud that we'd all regret. But we'll be able to find out. It could be that they've seen the message but haven't had a chance to reply yet. Even typing a few words isn't easy when you're the center of everyone's attention like they are.
Emma nodded.
Yeah, I think the fact neither of them have replied at all says that they do have company. Do you think we should maybe hold off on calling until one of them does reply? Because what you said about asking straight yes or no questions makes sense. But if they're with national leaders, it's still not going to be easy for them to take a call without questions about who's calling and what made it so important. Hell, at this time, so soon before the inauguration, I wouldn't even be surprised if Godfrey is with them right now.
We'll wait, Clark agreed. One way or another, we're going to find out soon enough whether Leisha has been there. I do want to make sure we talk to Dan before his meeting with the rest of the ICA leadership later. Because if something is going on with Piper again that could change how much he wants to tell them about the other stuff right now. From her high chair, Piper then let out an uncharacteristic groan. Both Emma and Clark immediately turned to face her.
Are you okay? They asked in unplanned unison.
No, please,
Piper said, gurning uncomfortably.
Dada, Tata. No, please.
The adults exchanged a brief and concerned glance before both looking back to Piper.
Leisha's not there?
Emma asked gently.
What are you telling us, darling? Clark added. Was Leisha there and then he left?
Thanks in part to the intelligent brightness of her eyes, but even more so to the decidedly alien abilities she had possessed for a short while, it was all too easy to forget how young Piper really was, and in doing so, to expect too much from her in terms of conversational understanding and participation. At 8 months, stringing any number of clear sounds together in a meaningful way was impressive to most. Only those who knew Piper well took this for granted and focused on the meaning of what she was trying to convey, rather than the fact she was so deliberately conveying it at all. Piper didn't say anything. And very quickly seemed to have gotten past any discomfort she'd been feeling. Happy to see the baby's expression return to normal, Clark turned to Emma once more.
Do you think that was what happened?
He asked, unnecessarily but instinctively speaking at a volume barely above a whisper.
Leisha arrived, told them something, then left? Or do you think she's just babbling?
That definitely wasn't mindless babbling, but she might just be remembering things.
Emma said, allowing herself to hope this was the case.
Tara was connected to Leisha that night. Dan arrived back with Leisha that night, and she doesn't know Billy well enough to say his name. Maybe she's just remembering. What else could it be? How else could it be?
Exactly,
Clark said, suddenly feeling calmer. Emma's voice hadn't exactly been at its reassuring best,
and her words had been far from certain, but something about her "what else could it be" question made Clark take a step back and think of the most likely answer. That the 8-month-old baby was simply remembering a very odd event that had occurred in her home a few weeks earlier, with two caregivers who were always around, but suddenly weren't there today. It made sense.
"And why would Leisha show up anyway?" Emma went on. "If he's been paying attention to stuff on Earth, he'll know the big inauguration was today, so if there was something he wanted them to know, he would have told them yesterday."
"Or the day before, when they were still here in Birchwood and the rest of us could have heard it too." Clark nodded. Emma nodded even more firmly.
"Right."
Having convinced themselves and each other that nothing was wrong, probably, they breathed deep and simultaneous sighs of relief.
"No, Lise,"
Piper said, but this time in an indifferent tone as she pushed her spoon into what was left of her breakfast.
"That's right, sweetheart,"
Emma said, somewhat uneasily glancing between her daughter and Clark.
"No, Lise."